Tuesday, July 5, 2018. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson. Little off timing with the release on this one, but it's been an interesting week. Gonna try to put this together over the weekend, but I got surprised with little birthday outings to a skydiving adventure, which was fun. And then Monday was my actual birthday. Got caught up with some fun personal things there. Tuesday got caught up with work. Yesterday was Independence Day, and I exercised my freedom by not recording a podcast. And here we are, July 5th, Thursday. On Monday, I think it was it Monday? I put out a podcast, a quick precursor to this show, saying that if you haven't listened to the Cousin Vito's latest episode, that you should, because him and I collaborated on an episode, and that's what this I'm gonna play here in a bit. The second part of that, we take a little virtual stroll around the casino, and we give our thoughts on each of the games and ways to wager. Second half of that coming up here in a second. Things have been pretty relaxed over here. Not a lot to report on. Of course, if you follow me on Twitter, at The Better Life, you've noticed that I have been pretty into this whole World Cup thing, this global phenomenon that they're calling the World Cup. I've been wagering steadily through the World Cup, and I need to update my record, but sitting right around even on the whole World Cup, and so I'm hoping last couple rounds can bring me up over and into the black. I mentioned it on the precursor episode Monday. I'm going to reiterate it again because I had a couple people tweet at me asking sort of about this. From now on in the World Cup, the group stage is different. In the group stage, the game ends at 90 minutes, and whether it's a win, lose, draw, whatever, no matter what the score is, that's a score, and they move on to the next game. In these elimination rounds, the bet you're making on the match is for the 90 minutes of regulation. So, for instance, I had Colombia plus half a goal. They tied it up just in the nick of time before the 90 minutes was up. As soon as the regulation was over and then they started going into extra time, when regulation was over, that's when the bet won. My plus half a goal won right there at that moment. So extra time, PKs, you can make bets on those as they come. Usually if your book will post a line before extra time and PK starts, you can bet on those. But unless it explicitly says otherwise, betting on a soccer match that's in a tournament and they're in the elimination rounds, you're betting on the 90 minutes of regulation, and that's it. I did a lot of my sports betting over at Harrington Casino here in Delaware. It's about a 2-hour drive from me, so a 4-hour round trip, which, let me tell you, I'm willing to do when there's plenty for me to bet on. Not sure I'm making that trip otherwise. I went out there just before round 3 of the group stage and then right before the round of 16. Now that there's less games ahead of time, I may not be so quick to run out there. But, of course, while I was out there, I decided to play some table games, as one does. A couple things that I noticed that was interesting. I played some craps, and I played the don't. And what I thought was interesting is they told each other, the dealers would tell each other that I was on the don't. So whatever dealer was ahead, it was on my side of the table, would tell either the stick man or the box, or the stick person or the box person, we have a don't. And it wasn't an issue, but they always pointed it out. And then when it would resolve, they would reconfirm, are we back on the don't? And it was the only time that a wager was confirmed or notified between two dealers. I thought that was interesting. They had multiple craps tables, and they had both bonus craps and fire bet there. So you could choose the craps table with your with your bonus of choice, your side bet of choice, if you will. I thought that was cool, especially since we are getting to a point where fire bets are harder to find. Cool to see it there. Not that I'm playing it, but still cool to see it. Inquired about some blackjack. Went up to a table, saw that it would pay 3-2. Very excited. Asked her if they offer surrender. They did not, and I was no longer interested in playing blackjack. Surrender is a rule that I very much appreciate. I can still enjoy it. I may be willing to play a game if it's good, if that's maybe the only variation they don't have, but I wasn't about to play that over craps. But what was interesting is when they told me they had no surrender, I asked them, oh, well, is it just the 8 deck, or do you guys have double deck? And the floor manager kind of looked at me kind of weird. She was like, it's an 8 deck shoe. And I was like, I get that. Do you have double deck? And she kind of looked at me. I was like, 2 decks. Do you have a 2 deck game? And then that's when they confirmed that they do not. But I did not think I was going to get so many puzzled looks when inquiring about double deck in a casino. Handful of events coming up still this year. Eric Rosenthal talked about them the last time he was on this show, the ones that he's going to. Bunfest, that's going to be out in England. I will not be there. Oceans AC, Oceans Atlantic City. I know people have been reporting that I was going to be there. Cards on the table, that was actually kind of up in the air. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to make it. It now looks like I'm most likely, probably going to make it. Just got to finish booking a spot, but, it looks like I will be there for, starting Friday night through Sunday, which is even more time than I thought I was going to be there, originally if I was going to be there. So, not only is it looking up on me being in Atlantic City for the Oceans event or Oceans meetup, but I should be there for most of the time there. So looking forward, to seeing everybody and throwing some dice, with some, my fellow dice throwers. Monday was my birthday. I made a hard six bet. It lost. Other people reported in that their hard six bets also lost. So I want to thank everybody for joining me on celebrating my 33rd birthday by making failing hard six bets. We all come together in defeat, and I do appreciate you playing along with me and having fun. MGM had a birthday free play wheel, little virtual wheel, not a real one, virtual wheel at their kiosk. I spun it. I got $200 in free play, which is the most free play that I've gotten from a casino in any scenario. So I was very excited about that. Made about that back while playing the free play. So that was a nice little profit on my birthday. Going to head back on Friday for another promotion that they have involving free play. I'm going to be playing the Blackjack Tournament Summer Series coming up. Looking forward to that. Went in yesterday for a quick promotion they had. 50 points on the slots would get you a igloo cooler and a six-pack of Coke. And when I saw the promotion, I immediately thought of Mark and Dr. Mike from You Can Bet on That and said, well, I mean, if they're good enough for a six-pack of Coke, I guess so am I. So I went in, quickly played some video poker, got my cooler and my six-pack of Coke, and immediately put the cooler to work as we went to the U.S. Capitol to watch the Beach Boys and other people in concert, and then the fireworks over the National Mall. Very cool, fun experience. Lastly, one thing I want to point out before we get into the second half of my collaborative episode with Cousin Vito. The Twitter touts are here. I mean, they've been here, but man, are they about to start coming in with all of this sports betting stuff. By the way, Delaware, in its first like 3 or 4 weeks of being open, raised close to $1 million, maybe even hit $1 million just in state revenue. That's the state revenue part of it. Sports betting's here, folks, and the trust me, the federal government's gonna get some stuff passed through, so that way they're more regulated and involved. But until then, states are trying to get at it. Delaware already profiting, state already benefiting. But as bettors, we are going to get the brunt of it when it comes to social media, because man, sports betting Twitter already wasn't a great place, And now that more people are going to have the opportunity, now that it's going to be a bigger and more widely accepted conversation, people are going to come through and they are going to be obnoxious. I'm not going to give anybody any credits by saying their Twitter handle or even close to saying who they are. If you figure it out, that's fine. But I tweeted the other day about my thoughts on the group of 16, the round of 16, I should say, and how close I thought some of those games were going to be, and that I kind of liked Mexico-Brazil to be a close game. If anybody who watched that game would know that it was actually a closer game than the 2-0 score that ended up being. It very easily could have ended 1-0. It very easily could have ended 1-1 if Mexico were able, took advantage of better opportunities. Anyhow, a gentleman responded to that talking trash about me and the other people involved in that thread, and talking about how Brazil was an easy winner. And his claim to fame, the things that he's marketing, are his 13-1 record. He has it in his name. Let me tell you, if anybody tries to sell you picks, tries to get you to invest in them, tries to boast about who they are as a sports bettor, and they're telling you about their short run of 14 plays, it's not enough. I know professional sports bettors who wouldn't even want to brag about a good season, because they know in the long term things even out and that there is a chance that variance goes the other way. And that's an entire season. So these people that boast 13-1, 9-2 for the last 11, stuff like that, no one cares. You shouldn't care. You could be interested. That's fine. You can be interested in what they have to say, what their opinion is. But if their approach to marketing is telling you their short-term success and insulting other people on social media as their way to bully themselves into relevance, not someone I would consider investing or being associated with. That's just my two cents. If you disagree, that's fine. But for those of you that, because sports betting is going to be maybe offered in your area or is offered, or you have the opportunity and maybe you don't want to do your own handicapping, you just want someone to maybe help you out, maybe guide you the way on what on some plays that may be some good value. Be careful in who you trust and who you, especially if you're looking to buy picks or invest in a handicapper, do your due diligence, ask around, find out what someone's reputation is, try to get long-term results if you can. But even all that, I mean, numbers are numbers. People can fudge them. People, you know, it's hard to prove unless you're really keeping track of every pick someone has given you or that someone's given the public. It's hard to even tell what the true accuracy is on someone's record. I give out my, I should say even give out my picks. On Patreon, I tell my patrons who I'm betting on. And that is simply because I want them to sort of get an inside look to my betting life. And if they are looking for some action, you know, maybe they, you know, if they respect my opinion enough, they should they want to follow that action. But as I mentioned on the day of the Belgium game, I think was the Belgium game, yeah. One of these days, I posted what my picks were, and I followed it with, but go with your conviction. Like, these games are going to be close enough. These are who I chose. But, you know, follow your own conviction, because when they win or lose, that's going to give you the most comfort in the decision to wager money on these things. So I just wanted to get that out there. I'm a little scared of how nasty sports betting Twitter is going to become even more now that sports betting grows, but c'est la vie, I suppose. Okay, Cousin Vito. Cousin Vito's Casino Podcast. Him and I decided to collaborate, a little stroll around the virtual casino, and boy, was it fun. If you listen to his he stopped right as I mentioned I was going to go into a sports book. So this picks up right at that point as him and I start talking about the sports book and betting on sports. Enjoy. My favorite passive bet, though, to make, Vito, is a bet at the sports book.
Well, I love that. Hey, I'm an Italian-American from New England. We love the sports betting up here. I'll tell you that much. I love watching the football games, and now you can bet in Atlantic City. Soon you'll be able to bet in Foxwood. It's going to be like the greatest time. Next game of Palooza, baby. We're going to be betting sports.
Good. I hope so. I was just someone asked me. I think it was it Mike, Dr. Mike? Someone was at someone saying, I hope there's another game of Palooza so we can go out there. And I'm like, well, wherever it is, it better be somewhere where sports betting was legal.
Oh, I promise you, I won't have it till sports betting is legal. I'll tell Foxwoods. When
yeah,
I come back.
Good. Well, while we're here, Vito, let me see here. What's on the docket for today? Let's see what the next bets we can make is. Let me get down on. I'm going to take Peru on the money line. I'm going to take Nigeria plus one.
Oh my God, I can't. I can't. That's my problem with the sports book. Is I'm a typical American slob. I got my hamburger. I got my drink. I'm betting on some football. I'll maybe basketball. I'll bet a little on. I can't do this. I can't do the World Cup. I can't do the soccer. I don't know enough about it, Tim. What's the appeal for you to the World Cup? How does it even work? They score so few points. Are you just betting on money lines?
Yeah. So like in soccer, and this, I mean, if anybody's actually interested in the World Cup, I did a preview on it. I talked a little bit about betting soccer, but the draw to me is the World Cup is a global phenomenon, and I like soccer, and so those two things combined has me. I think there's a lot of value to be had because a lot of lines are based on reputation, and so you can get a lot of competitive teams that are less known for being competitive at good prices.
Okay,
yeah,
I like that logic.
Yeah, so like you know maybe today was a good example, and anybody who follows me on Patreon knows that I got this one wrong. But a good example was today Spain was a goal and a half favorite against Morocco, and considering the situation and the competitiveness, it really should only have been a 1-point favorite. So you're getting a half point of value in that, right? And so when it comes to successfully sports betting, it's all about trying to beat the closing line on numbers and just getting the right number. And so the World Cup right now, especially with what else is going on right now, baseball. I mean, you want to know how I bet baseball? This is how you should bet baseball. Listen to a numbers game hosted by Gil Alexander on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, and when him or one of his people gives out a pick, just bet that.
Actually, speaking of Gil Alexander, I ran into him at Zorkfest.
Oh, good.
Not good, because I was supposed to interview him, and then I ended up not doing the interview. And he was like, oh, that's the guy. Weren't we going to do an interview? And then you blew me off. And I was like, I didn't mean to. Well, you know what happened to him is he was going to be one of my last guests. And I was like, for the season. And I said, you know what? It'd be better to have you on before the next season with the football bets, you know, because that's something that I could relate to where it's like, I'm going to have Gil Alexander on. We were like in the heart of baseball season. It was like, what am I going to talk about? The Mets are going to lose. The Yankees are going to win. I figured I was going to save him for his Cousin Vito debut, but he called me out in it live at Zorkfest at the cocktail party.
I made one baseball bet when I was in Vegas. It was on the Mets, and of course it lost.
Oh, I made a couple. I talked about these in my show, but I'm gonna tell them to you right now. I want you because you're a value guy, so I'm doing this for value.
Yes.
Now I did two teams to win the Super Bowl. Now first thing I did, I'm not gonna go over, but I did like a big 8-team parlay with like I just randomly picked like first week spreads like off the top of my head. You know, I said, all right, I like them for that at home. This.
Okay.
Just to have a fun ticket while I'm at home, where you know a $10 bet or $20 bet, I forgot what I did, it'll win you a couple grand. You know, so I was like, all right, because for me at the time we didn't know sports betting was gonna be definitely legal. So when I would make bets in Vegas, I go but once a year. So yeah. I need to make a bet that pays back enough to sponsor my trip. You know what I mean? That was my legal sports betting experience, was sponsoring a trip, hopefully.
Just so you know, and I've mentioned this on my show before, just so your audience knows, if you do make a wager in Las Vegas the result is until after you leave Las Vegas, you can, on the back of your ticket, there's actually a form on the back of your ticket that asks for your name and your address and stuff like that. If you send that certified mail to the address that they tell you to, you will a few weeks later get a check in the mail for what they owe you.
you know what, Tim, you ruined my whole thing here. You ruined my whole strategy. So, I got to bet big to win big. Now I can send all my stuff in. Oh, man, that's not as fun. Don't tell my wife. Just don't tell my wife, okay?
You know, here's the thing. Let me tell you, you're right that making that bet, right? So, like, betting a futures bet and then having it like, oh, if this wins, this will, like, I'll fly out to Vegas to cash this and it'll pay for my trip. That's definitely fun, and I definitely commend, like, I can see the excitement of that. What I'm saying is, like, when I left Vegas, there was a single, not a futures bet, but there was, like, a single match that I still wanted to bet, right? So, it wasn't, like, $20 to win $500, right? It was $20 to win $20. And so you can still make those bets even though them winning aren't going to pay for your trip to Vegas. You can still send them in certified mail and have them cash. Or
you know what the messed up part, Tim? I'm sitting here, I'm such a sicko. I'm like, yeah, I don't even want to walk to my mailbox with that BS. I'm like, is it worth the stamp? I mean, really?
So then yeah.
Don't follow my advice. Just enjoy my free spirit. That's all I have to say.
The last bit of advice on that I'll give, your ticket will, I think your ticket is good for 365 days, I think, from the result. So when there's an official result, I think most places, and I think it's different casino, but most places will give you a full year to cash that before the ticket expires. So.
I love that. All right, perfect. All right. So we got our sportsbook bets. All right, Tim. Are we going to hit this craps table? You want to hit this craps table with me?
I've been itching, and I think I see, is that Dr. Mike over there yelling Muckleshoot?
No. It could be. Oh wait, no, just some other crazy old man screaming all sorts of nonsense at the table. We're doing good. Oh wait, hang on. We're walking by some pie guy and baccarat. Before we get to, we're not going to sit there here, but. Obviously, right. you must like both Bach and Pigou just due to the mathematics of the game, the low variance, you got a lot of chances for ties, a lot of chances to break even. Are you a fan of both these games?
So I am a fan of both of these games. I don't play baccarat because I just find it boring. Because I'm into house edge and stuff like that. There is no decision making. The only decision you make is a bet. You bet banker, player, or tie. The banker has a slightly better house edge than the player. The tie has a really bad house edge, so you wouldn't even bother with that. I can't even bring myself to bet a player on gut instinct because I know it's a lower house edge. And so sitting at a baccarat table for me is really just repetitions of making banker bets, and I just don't find that fun. That saying, I would, like, if I had promotion chips or something like that, I would probably go play baccarat because of the consistent house edge. And as Michael Traeger and I talked about on a recent interview I did with him, you can't accidentally ruin your house edge, right? You can't, like, in blackjack, you can make a bad decision on accident and ruin the edge on that hand. And same thing with craps, you can make a bad bet and ruin your house edge. Baccarat, you can't
we'll
do
get
that.
Into that. We're gonna get into that in 1 second.
Pigou, though, if I may, Vito. Pigou is so I played Pigou the other day, and I started keeping track of it because of all how many draws I was hitting. I went 6 wins, 4 losses, and 19 pushes in the time that I was sitting down. And that sort of is the story of Pigou poker, right? What's awesome about Pigou is you're making your own decisions. There actually is a strategy involved. There's a different, you think differently on, like, if you get 3-pair, or if you get 2-pair, it sort of depends on what your kickers are, what your 2-pair is, and whether you want to split the pairs or keep the 2-pair, whatever like that. I know there's an optimal strategy for all of it, but if you feel like you're thinking more of it, so the game feels more involved. And it's such a slow game, you can play it, you can drink quite a bit for free while you're playing it. Bogan Painter and I actually played in the high limit room. Here's a tip for Pigou players. Check to see if there's Pigou in the high limit room and see how the minimums compare to the floor. At Foxwoods, the high limit room was $25, which was the same as the floor, but the liquor was better.
And so I actually learned that from you guys because I've been playing Pigou, you know, past couple of years. I've been going to Mohegan to play Pigou mostly, and I never really played at Foxwoods. I only played in that when we originally played by the horse racing, or hopefully where the sports book is. And that is great advice because you can't beat that. You go into the high limit, the tables are empty, you get good booze, and a $25 Pigou. due to the way the game is played, you know, even me, I generally consider myself a red chipper. You know, a $5 craps table is my favorite. I could deal with a $10, $15. I'm changing my strategy up. You know that's the kind of better I am. And I could play a $25 pie gow and not sweat it, which is kind of like baccarat for me. Now, I also had the advantage of playing with Michael, watching him play baccarat. So I could see the excitement. But with baccarat, you kind of need that hot. You need to have those. You're getting a rush off the wager you're making, I feel like, in baccarat. Where other games like a pie gow, where you get to kind of choose your hands, you kind of get excitement out of what you're picking. Where baccarat, your excitement is when you pick your hand and you put that wager down, because you're basically betting on a coin flip.
That's fair. That's fair.
So I can see where you're, because me personally, you're not going to find me at a $5 baccarat table, you know, even at a quarter baccarat table. I'll play with, you know, if somebody wants to play, or I'll watch, but Pie Gow, I think we might be Pie Gow brothers. That might be our game together. But you know
yeah,
what?
I really
the
like
Pie
Gow
table's full. Actually, I got a little Johnny while you were talking to me here, so I'm opening that up. I'm putting it on here. Thanks, honey. I just tipped her $20. Did you see that? She loves me. Hey, see you later. All right, so we got a spot at this craps table, two of us. We're gonna stand next to each other, but I have a funny feeling we're gonna make different bets here, Tim. So I'm buying in. I'm gonna put it's $10 table. I'm putting $10 on the pass line. What the hell are you gonna do at this $10 craps table?
Well, you know, Vito, usually when I'm with friends, I like to roll around on the pass line, but since you've been dragging me around the slots and the rest of the roulette table, I'm gonna bet the way I'm most comfortable, and I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna bet on the don't pass line.
Oh, the agony, the pain.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so this is the main event here. I'm gonna put my boxing gloves on for this because we're gonna have a good time. All right. So now I'm guessing you're a math guy. It's got to come down to the math. Am I right? Or is there something else?
So there is. So the math is what started it. So when I first started getting into craps, I wanted to understand the game before I played it. And so I watched all of Wizard of Odd's videos. I read his stuff. I looked into like what I read betting systems just so I could see what ridiculousness was out there, not because I wanted to follow one. But I was curious about what people were doing. And then I, you know, through all that, you learn that a don't pass with max odds is the lowest house edge. Now it's by you know, like what 0.05% or something like that. I'm sure someone will correct me on that, but there's a very, very, very small difference between the don't pass and the pass line when you're backing them with full odds. The reason why, though, Vito, that I enjoy the don't pass more, especially when I'm by myself, is when I am playing a multiple bet don't pass, that is, I play the don't pass line and then I make some don't come bets, it stretches the money a little bit more. So instead of 1-7 rolling through and wiping out your 3-point molly, you know, it will take three individual rolls to pick off my three numbers. And I've definitely, you know, so I've had it where I've had four numbers out there, two of them get picked off, but then a seven comes, and so I still win those. And, you know, that scenario, I still have a heartbeat versus those same four numbers going up there, and then a seven comes out, and now I've lost, like, more than half my bankroll. So for that is why I prefer the don't when I'm by myself or we're not really, because you and I actually have been in this situation. The first time that you and I played craps, we were across the table from each other, and I was playing the don't while you were rolling. I believe I won my wager on that. But you were rolling. I hit a woman in the eye. It was a really weird session of craps.
Yeah, yes, and I have to say, I kind of enjoyed when you hit the lady in the eye. And I was like, look at that. The don't player. Big surprise. He's trying to take us out over here. Me and that lady were having a good time. We're schmoozing, hobnobbing. And then what happens? The don't player sharpshoots her right in her eye. And that, you know what's crazy? It like, for it to bounce into her eye, that's like a long shot. Like, if we had the bet, like, 1,000-1 on will this thing bounce off the table into her eye, it happened. It was, like, unbelievable.
I will say, though, so, if, you know, I've had people, this is the one thing I'm not cautious about, I don't know the right word for this, but, like, I have people who are new to crafts, right, and so they come up, they're new to crafts, and they're watching a crafts table, and I'll be the only person on the don't, and then they see me winning when the table's cold, right, and so they want to know what I'm doing, and I'm really hesitant to show them, because it's not, I don't, I don't recommend it for everybody. Like, I don't tell my friends, like, oh, yeah, make sure you play the don't. I teach them how to play craps, and they can choose how they want to do it, because it definitely is more fun to play with the table, because it's more social and stuff like that. But when I'm by myself, I'm not really usually looking for a table experience. I'm looking to just sort of play craps and enjoy my time, enjoy myself there personally. And for me, that is setting up numbers and letting that seven come and win them all. And I think it's that is the part that I enjoy winning at the don't. And it's not that other people have lost. No one get on Twitter and start yelling at me. It's not that the table has lost. It's that this one roll won me all those bets. I do make sure that people understand that if you're going to play the don't, you have to be stoic. No celebrating. Don't be that guy.
I have a question for you, Tim. Now, not to cut you off here, but, you know, I got a couple of scotches in me. I actually just got a fresh one. We just got put together here. My question is, though, now, as I play, I'm on the pass. If I lose and there's a don't player there, I see them pulling money and I see them winning. But when you do encounter that hot table and you're on the don't, you're crushed, you know, just as fast as you would be on the pass. You know what I mean? Like, to me, I feel like if there's a hot table coming, the don't players get crushed because you have to lay those odds. You know, let's say a 10 comes. You're going to lay max odds on a 10 because that's your ideal situation. Now, does that deter you? Because that's what deterred me, because I tried playing the don't. You know, I tried being a smarty pants myself. And then I said, you know what? I don't like laying all this money. I kind of like the long shot, the underdog. I mean, a true underdog story, I guess, at the craps table. But do you ever feel like when things are going good, you're like, dear God, I could have been rich right now with all the money I put out?
Yeah. I mean, that sometimes comes to mind, especially like a hot roller is one. Like, if I just get picked apart by a hot roller, that sucks. It's the sequence of events where I'm just losing a little bit more than I'm winning. And so it's like lose, lose, win, lose, lose, win. Those are the ones where I'm like, good Lord. Like, that's when I'm wondering, like, maybe I should be on the pass, right? Like, and I start playing that game with myself. I don't change my odds based on whether I'm on one side or the other by much. Again, my philosophy on betting is risk per result. And so if on the don't I'm betting, or you know, if on the pass I'm betting, you know, a $5 pass with a $30 odds, I'm probably not doing much more than that on the don't either, right? So, and I just accept that, you know, you get paid a little bit less than you wager, but the amount I'm risking for that result isn't changing much, so losing doesn't hurt any more than it would be if I was on the pass.
See, I'm totally irresponsible. I'm the I was doing the opposite, because for me, I'm like, all right, you know, let's say we're at a 5x table, so I got my $5 pass line. You know, if a 10 comes out, I'll back it up with the quarter odds. You know what I mean? Then I'll rake in 50. But you know, you back it up at the 5x. If you only lay 25, what are you getting back? 12.50? You're not even getting that, because the way
you'll be in 12. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, to me, that's honestly, like, it's not even about. I'm actually, my heart's warm that you actually admitted that when this choppy, you're kind of like, maybe I should be in the past. That's victory enough for me in this conversation. But that's really what swayed me, is because, you know, I go to the casino. I'm not nobody's going to be a professional craps player realistically, unless, you know, there is some sort of magic dice influencing. But realistically, we're both craps players. We're both playing some luck. And to me, I love having that sky's the limit where, you know what? Someday I'm going to be there for that 6-point fire bet. You know, if I live long enough, if I live long enough and have enough money, someday I'm going to hit that trajectory where I have that big win. I feel like, where with the don't, I've never played the don't long enough to feel like, oh yeah, I'm winning big here. Have you had those big don't wins where you've been like, that was great?
Yeah. So it doesn't jump quite as much as it would if you had, like, if you won 3 points on the pass, and then, or if you won 3 points on the don't, right? Like, the win is not, the jump isn't as big. But I've definitely, and to answer your question, no. If you're just betting the pass line, you're not worrying about come bets or don't come bets. No, it's difficult to really feel like you're getting this big win. But when you play multiple points, you do get this nice little, like, I remember at Gamblepalooza, Eric Rosenthal and a couple of the other guys went and played in craps in the high limit room. Too expensive for my blood. I was down a little bit on the trip. I wandered over. I played some craps. I played a don session, and it was like it was like magic for a don player. It was like 3.7, 3.7, 3.7, and before I knew it, like it had gone all around the table, and I may have lost like 3 bets total off of like 20 numbers that had been set. And so you can quickly you can quickly make a chunk of money. What I will say, though, about bonus bets, and I don't recommend that anybody plays bonus bets because of the house edge, but I do understand why they're fun, and when I'm feeling feisty, maybe I'll throw something out there. The bonus bets are almost always in favor of the shooter doing well, which means playing them as a don't player actually is kind of interesting.
Because you have a little stake, and if this thing start going well, you're like, "Well, yeah."
So,
okay.
I've definitely had some don't sessions where I will play the all tall and small, and then you know I don't play it often, but there were a couple of times where I would lose a couple points, but then they hit the small, right? And so and it's more of like a rebate than it is a win at that point. But
I like that's a good way, a little loss, yeah. Rebate on a hot shooter you got there.
Yeah, I would also just, it's because I always play around with different ways to play for fun, right? Like I know how I want to play strategically, and that's the don't. But I'm like, how can I make this more fun for me while I do this? There was one time I was at Harris, Philadelphia, and I was messing around with, if the point was a 5-9, if the point was on the outside, I would then bet the 6 and 8, right? So I would have the don't pass on, let's say, a 9, and then I would have the 6 and 8, and the money I would win on the odds on my don't pass would be enough to cover what I had on the 6 and 8. So if a 7 came around, then my odds would pay for the 6 and 8. If the 6 and 8s were hitting, obviously that's making me money. Of course, you know, the worst case scenario would be hit the 9 and then the pass line loses, and then, you know, but that was interesting. It was difficult to really find a shooter that really made that exciting, but because you're yeah, 7 is still sort of what you want, but you want your 6s and 8s to win. But that was an experiment I had on. But I want to hear your thoughts on this, Vito. I rarely play the middle.
Do you really want to hear my thoughts on this, Tim? It might be like us recapping a horror movie for you, what I do. But for me, I try to stay away from the middle. If the point's even, I I'm on the pass line, which, you know, 95% of the time I am. I haven't occasionally played the don't a tiny bit, recently less, but in the past some. I'll put it on an even pass line number. If the point's an 8, I'll put that hard 8. If the point's a 6, I'll put the hard 6. Normally, you know, I don't parlay it or do anything crazy, depending on how much scotch I've had, how good I'm feeling. Sometimes I'll do something crazy with it. Actually, me and Eric, I think we had a hard 6 up to like $45 a piece on the hard 6. So one more hard 6, we would have went wild. But, you know, that didn't happen, obviously. But we were close. And
yeah,
also a guilty pleasure, every once in a while I'll throw out a horn high yo, horn high midnight. If I haven't seen aces in a while, I'll throw out a horn high aces. Just to, you know, if I'm feeling a little bored at the craps table, and especially if it's not that packed and it's like, you know, throw it in there. Well, we'll see. Let's get a little sloppy here.
Vito, I'm sure Gina, maybe. I know Mark heard this at least once. If anybody at Gamblepalooza heard me yelling horn high ace deuce, you knew I was having a good time. I'm always biased to the low house edge. I would never recommend to anybody playing high house edge games or bets. But I wouldn't, I can't say that I never, ever play anything that's considered a quote-unquote a bad bet, because sometimes just having some fun. And there was one session, things were going really well, and I just had some fun, especially in tables where, see, one thing that sucks out here at MGM, the table minimums are $25, which means if your bet in the middle is a minimum of $5.
Oof, yeah, that is tough. So what are you doing? If you're doing a $20 horn, then, so they're saying you got to do a $20. Yeah, that's
exactly
tough. Then you throw in a quarter for a horn high. Oh, that's too much for me. For me. My singles, they go to cocktail waitresses, they go to the valet. So for me, if I'm throwing some singles in the middle, that's the cost of having fun. Where once you start getting up to where I'm throwing a quarter on a horn, then you're saying you better have a good bankroll, or you're doing something that's really volatile that's going to wipe out your bankroll.
Now, Vito, we're having fun here, and man, this table's cold, so I'm enjoying what's going on.
You're having a great time. I'm watching my misery.
Yeah, I like that the crapsuder has been paying me with your chips too. That's I keep on making field bets for him. So that's probably why he's doing that.
He's a great guy. He loves that bet.
But I noticed that we walked right past and didn't even sit down at a blackjack table.
You know what, Tim? The reason why I overlooked it is because I've had a bunch of cocktails, and my problem is, I go to the casino. Now, actually, this is kind of like we're going to talk a little blackjack, but in kind of a conclusion, I feel like if we were comparing ourselves to like dating or finding the right person, you're the type of gambler you'd want to marry, and I'm the type of gambler that's good for a one-night stand. You know what I mean? Where, hey, you might hit a home run with me one night. Over the long run, you're going to be a loser with me. But, hey, you know, that one time, you might have the time of your life hanging out with me, Tim.
Yes, you're right. It is getting a little bit late. I want to leave up off this this cold as ice craps table that is making all the dark side players a lot of money. But I do need to give a nod over to my beloved blackjack game and note that the golden rule in blackjack. I guess there's two. I don't know. I'm talking outside of my mouth on that part, I guess. But find a table with good rules and play basic strategy. And if you can do that, you'll enjoy your time at the blackjack table. That's how I play. And the rule, I think, Vito, we got so caught up talking to each other, we didn't really talk to anybody else. I didn't notice anybody else he was even there. But the one thing that never really gets brought up enough in these conversations that I think is important to emphasize is, if the table isn't fun, unless you're on a heater or a really hot streak, if the table isn't fun, go find another table.
It's not about where you are. It's about who you're with, Tim.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's beautiful. That's actually a beautiful line to wrap up our Trasino tour, I feel.
Thank you. Yeah, I like it.
So I feel like I learned a lot about you, Tim. I think we have more in common than I thought, because I figured you were going to be a strict mathematician. I see your little loosey-goosey once in a while, you know. I could get you on a singles or a roulette. If we're heading out to the valet and you got a couple bucks, I might pull you to a big six. You know, I got to really cajole you to get on the slot machine, I feel like. But
yeah, if you manage to get me to put a third or fourth dollar on the big six, you know I'm really having a good time.
If I see you sipping out of my scotch, I know things are going real wild for you.
Yeah. I will say, Vito, I think, since we are gamblers, and one thing that I planned on talking about each one of these games that we didn't touch on, so I'll mention it just briefly here. The high edge games that we were talking about that you like playing, where I admitted that maybe in this one circumstance I would play, those are games where I'm definitely risking as little as possible, and if I get up, I'm leaving, right? Versus the low house edge games like baccarat, craps, when I'm playing blackjack, even in pai gao a little bit, but my variance is a little bit different on there. If I'm down a little bit, I'll still play. Right. Whereas I'm not willing to go any deeper in the well than, like, let's say the $4 on big six. Right. I'm not going. And then also, but, you know, if I go up on those games, I'm not bouncing right away. I'm just being more careful about how I wager. Whereas if we're at the roulette table and I threw the fiver on the 21 and it hit, it's the last roll I'm doing at roulette for the night. So I think it is important to mention that each game you should know what you're willing to risk and what your philosophy is on when to leave, when to, you know, if you want, if you, how much you're willing to risk, stuff like that. So I just wanted to point that out.
And I totally agree with you. I'm very similar in that sense. I actually have a really warm, fuzzy feeling after this little casino conversation, because it's almost like a gambler, recreational gambling. You kind of broad stroke it. Oh, he's a gambler. Oh, he goes to the casino, where there's a lot of variance and a lot of difference in how people gamble, where some people, not like us, but some people go there and put $1,000 at the roulette table and don't care, and that's their fun. Now, me and you, we're more closer to the mathematical part of the spectrum, but I'm a little more towards the middle, because I have more of a hobby relationship where I like, you know, I'll let it all hang out. I'll throw $100 on the roulette and say, to hell with the odds, to hell with the variance. Let's just have some fun. Where you're a little more thoughtful about how you wager your money. And I think it's nice that between the both of us, we can go to these Gamblepalooza events and go to the casino together, and we still have a good time together. I mean, I felt like even though we gamble with very different philosophies, we still had, I think, a comparable time at a Gamblepalooza, because, you know, we enjoy all those casino amenities and we take gambling for what it is. It's kind of like a side little pastime. You have a little fun. You know, obviously, sports betting, you want to be right more often than you're not. But in general, you go to that craps table, you're going with that expendable income, and you're going saying, you know what, worst case, whatever I lose, I can handle it. And, you know, that's the end of the story.
Yeah, I couldn't agree
Seemed
more.
Reasonable. I was hoping a round of applause or something. I want a poetic finish here.
Well done, Vito. You nailed it there.
On our tour. You may not believe it. You didn't see me, but I had three scotches while we were sitting here. So
I like that. I will. Hopefully, before the year's over, Vito, we'll find ourselves in the same casino again in real life and actually play this out in person.
Well, we have to. I'm only 30 points away from the next tier at Foxwoods now, so I got to get. I got to get back there now. I have a goal to achieve.
Foxwood keeps on sending me like room and free play, and I don't feel like I even really gave them all that much action at Gamblepalooza. So I'm yeah, we'll see.
Oh, maybe we'll have a little mini Gamblepalooza. Gamblepalooza 1.5. Me and you will do this tour live.
I like it.
Ooh, and that rhymed a little bit too. Yeah, not so bad. All right, Tim. Well, thanks me for having on your show. Thanks you for having me on my show. I don't even know what I'm talking about now. But however we cut this up, I think this was a fun conversation. Hopefully everyone enjoyed this. I mean, I was totally candid and a little bit delirious. So hopefully, you know, this is beautiful stuff here.
You know who we need to bring next time, Vito? Next time we do this, we need to bring your friend Seneca.
Oh, well, you know what Roman philosopher Seneca once said, right? You know that.
Yeah, luck is what happens when opportunity meets preparation.
Oh, Jesus, you've been hanging out with Cousin Mikey. Luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. So both of us, even though we're totally different in the way we gamble, we both prepare. We have our head around the numbers. Some of us, like me, I'll risk a little more, be a little more frisky. And some of us are a little smarter. But the key is you got to go to the casino and you have to know what you're doing. Like you said, you don't like playing the carnival games unless, you know, you're trying it out. That's how I am, too. I don't like jumping into a game. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the house edge. Don't know how to play. And that's really how you got to go to the casino. You got to do a little research and, you know, maybe may luck be a lady tonight, as a great Italian crooner once said.
Always fun talking to Cuz and Vito. That was a fun little episode to do. Really, really enjoyed that. Patreon.com/TheBetterLife is where you can go to support the show. I'm going to begin putting a little bit of extra content up there, either audio outtakes from interviews, or I might even start toying around a little bit with video. But gonna start getting a little bit of extra content on there, and that'll be right now. That'll be available to anybody who's a patron. So if you tip your dealers and your cocktail waitresses, maybe you know, tip your favorite podcast hosts as well. Wink, wink. I also post my picks for World Cup and other things on there. If you're looking for a little bit of guidance on maybe where to put some action down, not saying that I'm a pro or have any further insights, but you know, I have a little bit more of a process that I go through than maybe someone who's simply looking at a board and trying to bet on the better team. On Twitter @TheBetterLife, also Instagram, been active on there. Lately it's been disappointing poker, video poker results, but that is active and going as well. And before I sign off, someone just hit me up on Twitter asking about Daniel Negreanu's masterclass. Daniel Negreanu put out a masterclass. If you're not familiar with this, it's a website where high-level professionals put out online courses on their expertise, right? So, of course, now Ron Howard has one on directing. Gordon Ramsay has one on cooking, that sort of stuff, right? So Daniel Negreanu has one on poker. Someone asked me if it's worth it. So there's 34 lessons in his masterclass, and right now they're not even all available yet. They only have 7 of the 34 available. So I can't speak to the entire course, but when I can, I will. But as of right now, and I'll follow up on this when I've gone through all 34 lessons, but right now it feels like the right course for someone like me who has not been at the felt for a long time and has not had to think about this stuff for a while. So I would say it's definitely useful for beginners or people that just haven't had to think about this stuff for a while. So some of the courses that spotting tells, masking tells, tournament strategy for early and middle stages, tournament strategy for the bubble. Those are some of the bigger ones that were released already that I've gotten to watch. Not that a lot of that stuff was new, right? A lot of that stuff was things that I had known previously, but maybe I wouldn't have thought of had I gone to a poker tournament without reviewing such things or without having someone remind me, hey, when you're on the bubble, this is how you should be managing your chip stack versus not. So, hopefully that helps someone out there, and hopefully I can give a better and more concise review once all 34 lessons are made available. It's definitely not worth it just to hear Daniel Negreanu talk about poker. I've been following Daniel Negreanu since I first got into poker back in 2003. And so I like consuming anything that he does. If you're an intermediate player, at this point, I probably can't recommend it to you unless you have a part of your game that you have not developed at all. Maybe there's a part of this course that may speak to you, but I wouldn't know what that is, and I wouldn't know how to recommend that. So as of right now, really good for beginners, really good for people who haven't thought about this stuff in a while, really good for people who maybe haven't thought critically about improving their game. Like, so even if you're an experienced player, if you haven't thought about how you should improve your game, this might even be a good course for you. Other than that, those are the recommendations I can give on it thus far. Thank you so much for listening. I'm excited to be heading out to Oceans AC later this month. I will be keeping everybody up to date on my blackjack tournaments. Hopefully, I can hit a final table one of these days. Man, that would be nice. And good luck to everybody that's continuing to bet the World Cup. And let me tell you, I'm not going to put any picks out there, but let me tell you, I think Sweden is going to give England a harder time than people are giving them credit for. And I think Uruguay might do the same to France. All right, that's all I'm going to say. Everybody have a wonderful week. Good night and good luck.